This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
The small rishus harabim is only if there is an eruv. That's all the chachomim requires, that there should be clarity of these three differences. That in the house you don't need an eruv, in the street you need an eruv, and in the major thoroughfares an eruv doesn't help. Once we have that principle, then they built that into their siyag and into their takonah so as to allow the carrying with an eruv. So it's not that they made the halacha and then we found a way around it. They made the halacha and built the way around it into the halacha which they created. Omar HaKuzvi Kfar Hispik Lize. Says the Kuzvi, that already satisfies me. But I don't understand the principle of eruv, how it operates. How does it join together two rishuyos? How does it magically turn a karmelis into part of the rishus hayochid? What is the method of operation of an eruv? And here the Kuzri gives a very important approach to all the halachas of the Torah. Amar echove, im kein lo ichosku etzlecho hamitzvahs kulam. In that case, all the mitzvahs altogether are lacking. You don't understand anything if you don't understand that. There's a problem in your perception of all the mitzvahs. Hachazok beinecho atoros hanechosim v'amomim v'avodim b'lekichas hakinyan v'atzvo. Do you understand how property and money and slaves can be transferred from the ownership of one person to the ownership of another person by the doing of a kinyan or by a will? That a mere formula should actually transfer ownership. Do you understand how that operates? That one person is the owner of the object, and a moment later you do a magical kinyan, and the object is transferred to another person. Do you understand that? And the fact that a woman can become permitted to one to whom she was previously prohibited, and prohibited to one to whom she was previously permitted, merely by stating a formula of Hareyat Mekudeshesli. You stand under a chuppah and give a woman a ring and say Hareyat Mekudeshesli, and magically she becomes your wife. You understand how that works, what the method of operation is? Vahatarosu achashosu asuro, and then you can release her once again. She can become mutter to other people again. Ba'omre kisvu v'chisma utnu get, by merely instructing the Beis Din to write a get. And you understand the Sefer Vayikra and all the halachas of Korbonos, where the completion of an action can be achieved with one act or with one word. Do you understand how an item of clothing or a house can become tomei or tohur by the mere declaration of the Kohen? By pronouncing the word tomei or tohur, that makes the house tomei or it makes the house tohur. Do you understand how that works? V'chol ha-mishkono, and the mishkon, lo'icholo ha-kedusha oleo elo ba'akomas Moshe es ha-mishkon v'ha-meshicho b'shem ha-mishcho. How the construction of the mishkon didn't bring about its kedusha until Moshe Rabbeinu himself put it up and introduced it with the shem ha-mishcho, anointed it with the oil and so on. V'chein ha-kohanim lo'icholo ha-kedusha aleim elo b'miluim v'v'tzunufo. And how the Kohanim didn't achieve Kedusha until they were introduced with the Miluim and with the Tanufa that they had to do. Valeviim Betaro, Vatanufa, and the Leviim also had to be purified and had to also bring a Tanufa. Vatohir Atameim Bemei Nido, Sheboi Efer Aporo, Vaizavish Nitolas, Vaiz Erez. And how people who are Tomei can become purified using the waters of the Pora Aduma. Where you've got the ash of the poro, and the little bit of vegetation, and the red thread, and the eitz eres, and that makes a person tohu. Do you understand how that works? And the cleansing of a house which has become tome through the two birds that had to be brought, and that whole ritual. And do you understand how you achieve atonement for sins on Yom Kippur? Do you understand the mechanism of that? The Tairas Mikdash Me'atumis Besoy, Me'atumis, and how the Beis HaMikdash can become purified from its tumo. The Seir Azazel Ibamaisim Atuluyim Boy, and the goat that had to go sent into the desert, and the whole ritual around that. How the bracha of the kohanim works when they lift up their hands and they say Yivarechecho Hashem. Do you know how the operation works? That people become blessed as a result of that. And that with all these actions, a godly consequence results. Do you understand how that works? So interestingly, the Kuzri has loaded together here the things that seem to be as rational as the laws of property and ownership, together with the laws of Korbonus and Tumah and Taira, and he says that underlying them all there is the same irrationality. Underlying them all there is an element which cannot be understood by the human being, and that is how it operates. We can understand that it operates, we can understand something of the intention and the purpose, but to understand how it operates, in none of them can you understand how it operates. There's nothing in the Torah that you can understand actually how it operates. And that, he says, if you don't understand that, if in one mitzvah you don't understand that, then you're lacking a principle in all the mitzvahs, in the whole understanding of the Torah. It's no good just saying, I don't understand how an Eruv works, or I don't understand how Tumah and Taira works. He says, and what do you understand? Do you understand how anything else in the Torah works? So you realize that the whole Torah is beyond you in the understanding of its method of operation, of the technique, of the system in which all this by which all this happens. Ki ha-Toiro kahavoyus hativiyus kulo mishu'orus meis habire. Because the Torah, just like physics, just like nature, is all calculated by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ve'ein shi'urom b'yecholes boso v'dom. And that calculation is beyond the ability of the human being. Kasher tire ha'avoyus ativius mishtaris u'misaznus v'neirochus b'himozgo min ativim ha'arbo. Just as you see in nature, that by the correct proportions of the four different basic elements, that's the Rishonim all work with the four basic elements being fire and wind and earth and water, which perhaps can be seen as fire energy, and earth is matter, and water in the liquid state and in the gaseous state, the four basic forms into which all other matter can be classified. And in one way or another, so it's an even more basic structure, more basic division than the division of the elements in the periodic table. This is bringing it down to an even simpler common denominator. But at the end of the day, there's energy and there's matter, and matter is divided into solids, into liquids, and into gases, and everything fits into one of those areas. And somehow or other, by the correct proportion of all these elements, different properties are created, depending on how many. He doesn't get into it, but today we understand it even more clearly, that at the end of the day, what differentiates one piece of matter from another piece of matter, how many electrons and how many exactly what the structures of that is. But when you come down to it, all the atoms are the same. The most basic form is the same. It's just that it is the synthesis and the way these atoms and these parts of the atoms are put together that creates the different beings and the different materials that we have. But at the end of the day, all electrons are the same, and all neutrons are the same, and all protons are the same. It just depends how they're put together. And with a small variations, minute variances, a particular form becomes complete. Asher hi ru'uyu lohem mechayim utzumochim, that which is correct for it, whether it's a living being or a vegetation. V'yelechol mezeg atzura shehi ru'uyu lohi, and each one has, each synthesis of material creates a form which is specific to that synthesis. U'vimat dover yiposei, then with a little variation you can destroy it. It's a matter of one gene taking away one gene, or taking away one electron, and you change the whole the property of everything. Halo tire habetzo shiyafsido mikre ma'at michoim godol or koir or tenua. An egg can be destroyed by little things: too much heat, too much cold, too much movement, violent movement. Veloita kabel tzurasai afroach, and what will not develop into a little chicken. Yashlimeno chimu matan megoyles oisos shloisho shavuos v'tochobu atzura al ashlemus. and by the hen sitting on the egg for 3 weeks, it gets just the right proportion of heat that it needs to develop the egg into the chicken. Who can figure out and work out exactly how to do that in order to create these godly concepts except the Ribbono Shel Olam himself? And that was the mistake of the alchemists. The alchemists are making the same mistake in physics as you, Kuzari, want to make in your understanding of the Torah. Baruchim and the spiritual ones, the masters of the spirits. Hakimim choshvu sheyisharu ha'esh ativis b'mishkelim ad sheyehaveh ha'inyon lahem ma sheyirtzu. The alchemists thought they could find forms of energy, fire, which would be able to change things according to their own desires. But tehapech lohem ha'atzomim, and because they realized that essentially all matter was the same, it was just put together in different proportions, they believed that they could change those proportions, and using energy they could change one thing into another. Just as the natural heat of the body can change food into blood and flesh and bones and all the other limbs, and they try to find energy equivalent to the energy of the body to be able to change one piece of matter into another piece of matter. And they became misled by experiments which happened to be successful rather than by calculation. Sometimes they hit it right. The world operates with formulas, and by trial and error it can happen that you hit the formula. You try one thing, you try another, and you find it. Just as you can find by trial and error that through the implantation of a sperm in the womb, a human being can be created. That doesn't mean that man has learned how to create life. That's the way that Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, with that formula, and by the discovery of that formula, one is merely giving effects to the Bria. Baruchniyum, and the spiritual ones, kasher shonu mi'odam al bnei Yisrael ma'ashoyolohim me'akurbonus me'harois ha'oisus ha'elukius, and these spiritual people, when they heard stories of Bnei Yisrael, how through the performance of Korbonus the great wonders and miracles were performed. So they thought, how did that happen? Clearly they don't accept that there's a Mesoris, they don't accept that there's a Torah in Hashemayim, that Hashem told us how to do it. They think surely what happened is the Jews tried the experiment and they found a formula of how to bring certain Korbonus which brought about certain effects. And they thought that the Nevi'im were very wise people who were scientists. They experimented and they found these formulas by trial and error and by working it out. And they thought they could also find out the secret of sacrifices by trying to work it all out, and by analysis of astrology, as they with their own logic try to reach with their own deeds and their own different incense offerings and so on, until they land up writing all sorts of works and books about the astrology and the effects of it all, which one can't even get into, because they think that's the way that the Jews worked it all out. They had some kind of mystical analysis and they did perform mystical research which led to certain results, and they tried to imitate the same thing. And these, he calls them Balei Hashemus, also are people who heard about the various prophets that we've had, who've said certain things and then wonders have come. They think that the prophet has found a formula which brings about the miracle. But it needs to be understood that these things are not natural in that sense. Ki ha'maisim ha'turiyim shehem doimim v'tivim encho yodea tnuosom v'techashvim tohu ad shetire ha'tuldus uteromim manhigom umeniyom v'tiyachid lo ha'yichilis. Like science, like nature, the actions of the Torah, you cannot understand and calculate them, and you will consider them beyond you, amazing, until you see their consequence, and you elevate the Ribbono Shel Olam, Manhigum, and he who sets it in motion, and you understand that he is the Baal Yecholes, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the all-powerful, and that he sets it all in motion, then you'll begin to be able to relate to these concepts. Kasher, and he gives an example. Im lo yiso shomea me'ilom mishgal v'lo yadata hatildo mimeno. Imagine a person being born into this world, introduced into this world, and not having any form of sex education at all, knowing absolutely nothing about it altogether. He comes from Mars and he comes to this world, and he doesn't know that that's the way that babies are made. Nothing. The tiru atzmacho nizko ki lakiyu shebeivorei ha'isha, and he will find himself having to relate to that part which logically is the most unattractive part of the woman. And one sees purely coldly, if one looks at it purely clinically and coldly and unemotionally and unsexually, one will find in it degeneracy. And how improper it would appear to subject oneself to a woman in that way. And if you were told that's what you've got to do, that's the right thing to do, same as sugar. What kind of thing? How come? It would have no meaning at all. Until you are able to vision the consequence of and the birth that can result from that, and you will realize that you participated in that act of creation, and that the Ribbono Shel Olam through that act wanted the world to be established, then it becomes meaningful. Once you see the consequences and once you understand the meaning, then the whole thing becomes meaningful. And so it is with all the deeds of the Torah, with all the actions of the Torah. For example, tishchoit hakeves al adimyun, you shecht an animal, that is lachlech bedamo, and you get dirty with its blood. One of our kids was with the Lubavitcher for Erev Yom Kippur, the day before Yom Kippur, and they took her to Kaporis in the middle of the night. Now she doesn't want to eat chicken anymore. It's a frightening thing for a child, even for an adult. What does it all mean? You shecht a sheep even more, and a cow even more, an ox, and you become dirty with the blood, v'afshatosui, and then stripping it, uverchitzas meyov, and washing out its insides, v'adochosui, v'nituchui, cutting it up, uzvikas domoi, and then you're going to sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach, v'arichas eitzov, v'akedos ishoin, and putting the fire on the mizbeach, and burning that part of the korban which needs to be burnt. It's all weird. If it wasn't the mitzvah of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you would mock it. It would be ridiculous. It would be absurd to do such things. And using your own analysis, you would say such deeds surely are ungodly. Surely they make you more distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. They're primitive. They're archaic. They're ridiculous actions to be performing. But if you go through it, and you do it all kahalocha, and you see the fire that comes down, or you feel within yourself all of a sudden a different being, you're able to feel a different spiritual level, you feel in yourself a change that you're unaccustomed to, you find yourself being able to visualize things in dreams that are emes, you find yourself operating on a spiritual level which you never had before, or Yidoilish, you find yourself with Ruach HaKodesh, Teidok, Yehem Todes, Mashiach Damto, you'll realize that this newly acquired spiritual status is a result of those actions you've gone through, and those actions become meaningful. And the great thing to which you've been cleaving, you've now reached by these means. And that all becomes meaningful retrospectively. In other words, the meaning of the Torah is going to be achieved through the subjective sensing and feeling of the effect on the individual, rather than by a cold intellectual analysis, philosophical analysis of what it means. If you take a person who's never heard any music, and he sees you listening to music, and he wants to understand, or he sees you listening to music with headphones, and he sees you in bliss, he says, "What's going on?" And you say, "Come, I'll explain to you." And you take out the score of the piece of the symphony that you're listening to, and you say, "Look, read it." What do you mean read it? How do you read it? Well, this is an A, and this is a C, and this is a G, and different notes. And you can explain to him whatever you want. But at the end of the day, no matter how mathematically structured the music might be, and how beautiful and how systematic it might be, until he actually turns it on and listens to it himself and goes to the concert, there's no way that he can appreciate the meaning of it. And that's what the Kuzri is getting at here, that if you get to sit back and say, explain to me philosophically how it all works, there are things which you're not going to be able to relate to. Until you've learnt korbanos and felt the effect of it and brought a korban yourself and seen what it does and seen it in the context of the whole thing and felt the effect, you're not going to have a feeling for it. You're not going to have a sensitivity for it or any other of the halachas of the Torah. Finish the paragraph. After you finally achieved such level, then why die? What's the joke about that? The Rebbeinu Shlom allows us to spend our whole lives trying to reach this level, and finally we reach these great heights, our lives come to an end. Death is only the removal of the body. But the soul which has reached to these heights, that does not come down from those heights, and it doesn't become distanced from that level. And it should become clear to you from this that there is no coming close to the Ribbono Shel Olam except through the fulfillment of the mitzvahs of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Interesting, that's an all-embracing statement. There is no kurvo for the Ribbono Shel Olam other than through the mitzvahs. Anything else is an illusion of kurva. A person thinks that through nature and through all these things he comes close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He doesn't. That can be one of the dimensions in which he operates, but at the end of the day, what brings him closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam is the fulfillment of the mitzvahs, and that's all. Ve'iyev shaladas mitzvahs elokim elo mederech nevuah veloy ba'akosha veloy b'svorah. And you can only know the mitzvahs of the Ribbono Shel Olam through prophecy. You can't work it all out. It's beyond you to work it all out. And there is between us and these things an intimacy only through an acceptance of the Masoret which is given to us. And they who handed these mitzvahs down to us were not individuals. There were many of them. This is all the Chachomim of all the generations. And they were extremely wise. They were great in quantity and great in quality. Going back, some of them Levim, ba'afilu lo ayukim akonim ba'levim ba'azakenim asher ayu noisim atoyro v'lo yiposkum imoshe. And even if it's not the Levim, but it was the Kohanim, Levim, and the Zakenim, the Chachomim of each generation who have borne the Torah down to us generation by generation, v'lo yiposkum imoshe, without one generation's break from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the only way we can have access to these actions which bring us closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to these mitzvahs which we try to learn, which we try to understand, but we'll never be able to fully grasp except in the feeling of the effect they have on us. Any questions on that? It's quite a mouthful of a paragraph, but one needs to see the whole paragraph in order to understand it. That's why he said it's got to come from a service. You can't make these things up. It says, "Ve'iyev shaladas mitzvah selokim elo biderech nevuah loy ba'akosha v'loy b'svorah." Right? You're right. That would be the danger if one could make up one's own mitzvahs and you can do anything. The end of coming close to Hashem would justify any means. Then each individual will say, "As you say, by killing Jews, I get closer to Hashem." That's not how it works. The Ribbono Shel Olam created these mitzvahs, and they are accessible to us only by means of being handed down from him to Moshe and from Moshe to us through the generations. There is no other access to them. Reuven shemochar kol sadoisov l'shimei. Reuven sold all his fields to Shimon. V'holach Shimon u'mocha sode achas lelevi. And Shimon went and sold one field to Levi. Uvo Baal Chayiv de Reuven, and the Baal Chayiv of Reuven now comes. Reuven's got no property at all, so he's got to go to Shimon or to Levi. Rotsu mizeh goyve, rotsu mizeh goyve. He can claim from either one. He doesn't have to claim from Reuven, from Shimon, he can claim from Levi as well. V'loy amorom ela dezovam beinonis. But where does this apply that he can claim also from Levi? Is if Levi bought beinonis, which is what is due to the Baal Chayiv. Avol zovan idis v'ziburis loy. But if he bought idis and ziburis, then the Baal Chayiv cannot claim from Levi. He would have to claim the beinonis from Shimon. The Omar Levi, because Levi has a defense, and he can say, Lahochi daiki v'zavni idis v'ziburis. That is precisely why I bought idis v'ziburis. Aradoli chaziolach, land which is not fit for you. I would have bought the beinonis. I specifically left the beinonis so that I would not get involved in your bonds. V'yafilu zovan beinonis, and even if he did take beinonis, nami lo yamoron ela delushia beinonis dekavosi. That's only if he didn't leave at least an equal quality of beinonis behind. Then we say that the Baal Chayiv can claim from Levi if he wishes. Delumatzi, because then he cannot say, Delumatzi omele, because then he cannot say to the Baal Chayiv, Einachti lecho mochim legabi Shimon. I have left your property with Shimon. Aval shir beinonis dekavosi gabi Shimon, but if he did leave a beinonis as good as the one that he took, he left with Shimon, Le gabi minei, he cannot claim from Levi, the matzi omeli, and after the chomokim ligvis himenu, because he can say, I left place to you to claim from him. Says Rashi, you mocher sode achas le Levi, vahohi sode beinonis havoi, and that field which he sold to Levi is a beinonis, v'lushir Shimon beinonis etzloi, and Levi did not leave a beinonis with Shimon. Dachim aforish lo lekame, Rashi already introduces us to the kinta of the Gemara, that we must be talking of a case where it is beinonis which has been purchased and no equal beinonis has been left for the Baal Chayiv, by Shimon. Rotso mi Levi gave Yisus Sode, if he wants to, he can claim that beinonis field from Levi. The Omali Shibudi Shokalt, because he can say to Levi, you took my Shibud, you took the field on which I had my Shibud. Rotso mi Shimon gave mi Ziburis, if he wants to, he can claim from Shimon from the Ziburis, not from the Idis, of course. Because he can say, I don't deal with Levi, you are my counterpart in the argument, in the discussion. The Shaklis Kulu Nichsa Ruvain, because you are the one who bought out Ruvain entirely. If it weren't for you, I could have claimed from Ruvain. Since you bought all his property, you left Ruvain nothing, you now become the one I must deal with, and I don't have to worry about Levi, he's got nothing to do with me. And this that he can claim from Levi only applies that Adazor and Levi Beinonis if Levi bought Beinonis. Otherwise, he can say, Lahochi Daiki Digdakti. That's the Rashi. Oh, so we see in this Gemara two defenses. The one is, the one defense that he uses is Aro Deloi Chazieloch, Lachi Daiki V'Zavni Idis V'Ziburis Aro Deloi Chazieloch. The one defense that Levi can use is, I specifically bought property which is not your due. And his other defense is, I left you property to claim from. Heinachti L'chol Mokim L'Gavi Shimon. Two different defenses. The first defense, the defense of Lachi Daiki, and I took property which is not fit for you, Aradul Chazieloch, we use when he buys Idis and Ziburis, when he doesn't buy Beinonis. When he buys Beinonis and leaves Beinonis behind with Shimon, then we use the defense of Henachti L'chomokim. And Tosfos will analyze the differences between these two defenses. Says Tosfos, Rotso mizeh goyve or mizeh goyve. He can claim from whomever he wants. Ve'afal gav da'aminan en goyvim en echosim v'shubodim v'mokim sheish nechosim b'nei chayrim. asks Tois Bezai, we have a principle that you can't claim from the Chosim Mishubodim when you've got Bnei Chorin. So how can he go to Levi if Shimon still has property? Just as if Reuven still had property, he wouldn't be able to go to Shimon. So surely, with Shimon still having property, he cannot go to Levi, even though Levi's got the Beinonis. But since there's still Bnei Chorin by Shimon, surely that's where the claim should be. Answers Tosfos, an important Yesod. Shani hocho de kulu mishabdinino. This is different. They're all nechosim mishubodim. This principle of that you only go them in nechosim mishubodim if there's no Bnei Chorin applies only in the first purchase. They are called Bnei Chorin only at the point before they've been sold. Nechosim mishubodim means property which has been purchased with a bond to somebody else. But property which is in the hands of the original owner who issued that bond, that's not called mishubodim. That's called Bnei Chorin. So we're defining now these terms of mishubodim and Bnei Chorin. Bnei Chorin, nechosim Bnei Chorin means property which is in the hands of the owner who possessed them before there was a bond. That's called Bnei Chorin. When they're in the hands of an owner who, since the day he possessed them, there's been a bond on them, that's called mishubodim. So these three properties are all mishubodim, says Tosfos. The fact that one is sold on to Levi makes no difference. The status of all three properties are the same as mishubodim. There are no Bnei Chorin because Reuven has nothing left. Once Reuven has nothing left, there are no longer any Bnei Chorin. There's no Bnei Chorin, then these are all mishubodim, and the creditor is free to take either the Beinonis from Levi or the Ziburis from Shimon, whichever he prefers. No, you can't say, I especially sold on you, the one who's responsible. You can't sell your obligation. Yeah, but he can't say, I especially sold that one in the sense that, then why would the buyer have bought it? You can't say, I sold it so that you wouldn't have a claim on me. The other person can say, I bought it so that you wouldn't have a claim on me. You can't say, I sold it so that you... He's getting away from his basic responsibility. Yeah, no, all we're interested in is that at the time of purchasing it was free. It must be or sold by Achrayus. If it's sold with an indemnity. That the shibud falls away afterwards. I don't think so. If there's a loan outstanding, your property is bonded unless you've sold it with a price. Yeah. Avalzoven it is viziburis. But says the Gemara, if Levi buys idis or ziburis, then the Baal Chayv cannot come to Levi. Why? Because Levi has a defense. What is his defense? Daiki v'zavni, what does he say? What's his loshen? Lahachi daiki v'zavni idis v'ziburis ala d'lui chaz yelach. I was careful to buy property which is not fit for you. Now Tosfos is worried about the following question. What's it talking about? Is there, does Shimon have Beinonis as well or doesn't he? Levi bought ziburis or idis. Did he leave behind Beinonis or not? If he didn't leave behind Beinonis, that means all that Shimon had was Idis and Ziburis, and that's what Levi bought. Then is he right when he says Arad al Chazir? No, it's not Arad al Chazir, that's Chazir, that's what you would have claimed. Elomai, you must say therefore that he left behind Beinonis. If he left behind Beinonis, this is the same as the case further on. Here his defense should be Enachti l'chol mochim. Not the Lachi Daiki. What's the difference between the two cases? In both cases, Beinonis must have been left behind. That's Tosfos' kasha. Neither the Irish Shapir afilu the Shovik Beinonis, says Tosfos. You must say that he did leave Beinonis, otherwise there's no way to understand it. Mikol mokum hutzroch taima de lachi tarchi vizvini aradoli chaziloch. Nevertheless, we need this particular defense of Lahachi Tarchi Zavini Aradulu Chaziloch. The loy matzi omale inachti lechol mokum ligvus mimenu, because the defense of inachti lechol mokum would not work. Kidolma besomach, as it does further on when he buys one beinonis and leaves a beinonis. There you can use the defense of inachti lechol mokum. Here you can't. Why not? Gabi shovik beinonis dekavase. The shemo balchoyv oyhev ziburis tfemi beinonis. What happens if the balchoyv says, but I prefer the ziburis? I know I'm entitled to take the beinonis, but the ziburis adjoins my property, and I would prefer to take the ziburis than to take the beinonis. He has that option. And therefore he can force Shimon to allow him to take the ziburis. Otherwise you noel delis bifnei lovim. If you restrict him in that way, the purpose of allowing beinonis was to strengthen the hand of the Baal Chayv, not to weaken it. To say you don't have to take ziburis, you're even entitled to take beinonis. But that doesn't deprive him of the Doraisa option that he's got of taking the ziburis. And therefore, he could theoretically have taken Shimon's ziburis. So if he comes along and he says, we're talking now in a case where Shimon has idis, beinonis, and ziburis, Levi buys the ziburis. The Baal Chayv comes to Levi and says, I want the ziburis. Says the Baal Chayv, heinachti lechol mokim. Says Levi to the Baal Chayv, heinachti lechol mokim. Says the Baal Chayv, you didn't. I wanted the ziburis. That's what I would have taken. So you can't use heinachti lechol mokim. You can only use lahachi daiki uzvini aradul chazilach. I specifically took beinonis so as not to fall into your hands. I specifically took ziburis so as not to fall into your hands. That's the reason I took it. So as to rid myself of that shibud. So why then does it work? Let's just go on to the Tosfos. V'loy itzrich l'tayim ed'lochi tarchi v'zavna arad l'chazi loch ela mishum d'zoven ziburis. And this principle of l'hachi tarchi only applies when he buys ziburis. Ava mishum zovin idis v'shiyah ziburis u'veinanis. But if he would have bought the idis and left behind beinanis and ziburis, loy itzrich. He doesn't have to come on to that. The k'moysho yoshimon yochol lidchoysoy etzel beinanis v'ziburis, just as Shimon could push him aside to beinanis and ziburis, Shimon did not have to give him idis. Gam Levi yochlid choisoi. Levi can also push him aside. The more machalud shel sheni calls chushitov liyadoi, because that's what he's bought. He says, I bought idis, and just as Shimon didn't have to give you the idis, I don't have to give you the idis. So I'm safe with the idis. He's completely safe. If he buys ziburis, then it depends what his taina is. If his taina is inachti lechol mokim, it won't work. The Baal Chayv will be able to say, you didn't leave me mokim, I want the ziburis. If he says, lahachi tarchi, I really wanted beinonis. I specifically took the ziburis so as to rid myself of my obligation to you, that will then be accepted, says Tosfos.
So what's the right?
How does it work? There's another kasha also. How come it's called Arad al-Khazilah? How can he call Arad al-Khazilah? Ziburis is Khazilah. Is that what you wanted to ask, Jonathan?
No, I wanted to ask, what's the difference between the second and between the two cases still? Because in both cases, he's not left Shimon is not left with Ziburis.
Oh, so there's something we don't understand about this Hinachti l'chomokum claim. There's a missing link here. There's something we don't understand about the Hinachti l'chomokum case. That somehow that is able to do something that's what Tosfos is telling us, that the Yenachti L'chol Mokim can do something the other way around. That the Lachi Tarchi can do something which the Yenachti L'chol Mokim can't. That's what we don't understand at the moment. But Tosfos says it can. From the Gemara we see that it can. That Yenachti L'chol Mokim is a valid defense even when he takes the Ziburis. Hinachti lechol mokum is a valid defense even... No, sorry. That lahachi tarchi v'zavni is a valid defense even when he takes the ziburis. Yeah. Let's do the next Tosfos before we come back to analyzing this. We're going to spend some time on this Tosfos. Matzi omer lehinachti lechol mokum ligvus. That's the second taina, the second defense. Lav davke ka'oma, ha'lishna. That's not really what he says. That's not really the correct meaning. This is Tosfos Lishitosu. Remember the Nachlas David. The Tosfos isn't too particular about the words of the Gemara. It doesn't bother Tosfos to say it. It's not really what it means. The lishayach lememer hochi. Because you can't say that elo gabi bailim, velo gabi lekeach rishon. Tosfos, based on his principle in Rotzo Mizeh Goive, in the previous Tosfos, where he said that once the first sale has taken place, everything is Meshubodim, you can no longer say Enachti Lechol Mochim Ligvis. Enachti Lechol Mochim Ligvis is, I left you B'nai Chorin. But here there are no B'nai Chorin. If there's no B'nai Chorin, what does he mean Enachti Lechol Mochim? They have all of, are of equal status. So Tosfos Lishitoso has to say it can't mean Enachti Lechol Mochim. Ve'ikir Taim Eloi Avi Elo Mishum Dema Mocha Rishon Lasheni Kol Zchus. The real principle, what he's using, is the principle of Ma'amocha. V'u'a yo'yochol lidchoyse etzel beinonis achrisi. Shimon could have forced you to take another beinonis. That he could have done. He couldn't have pushed you onto Ziburis, and he couldn't have pushed, but to push you from one beinonis to another, that he could do. And therefore, Levi can do the same. Provided they're at least of equal value, they're equally, at least equally as good. And they are both beinonis. If Shimon had two fields, field A and field B, and they're equal, and the Baal Chayiv comes and says, I want A, Shimon can insist you take B. Because I'm not doing you out of anything, you're entitled to a Beinonis, but I can choose which Beinonis. Now if A is sold to Levi, Levi retains the right to push the Baal Chayiv off onto field B, which happens to belong to Shimon. That's really what Enachti Lechol Mochim Ligvus means. But if he didn't leave a beinonis de kavose, then Levi can't push him onto a ziburis because Shimon couldn't push him onto a ziburis. I, Shimon could have said, Ishatkis, either take the ziburis or I'll give the ziburis back. So he would have said, that does away with the Ishatkis. So we see Tosfos certainly learns that Ishatkis remains. That Ishatkis is a thing. Sorry? All the way, that's a shit, that's with the shit of some Baba Kama, yeah. But that's what he's saying, that the Enachti Lechol Mochim Ligvus is really a dimension of Mamoch Rishon Lasheni. That's what it really means. So what we're left difficulty with in understanding is how this Lachi Daiki Vizavni Aradali Chazilach works in a situation where he buys Ziburis and the Baal Chayiv wants the Ziburis, he prefers the Ziburis. Let's learn the Rosh. Up until this point, at least, I'm assuming that was fully prepared. That everybody's learned the Gemara Rashi Tosfos the way we've learned it up till now. Omar Rove. Reuven shemochar kol sadoisov v'shimon bishtar echod. The Rosh adds in bishtar echod. Why must it be bishtar echod? V'loy nishar b'yad Shimon beinonis elo idis v'ziburis. Shimon is now left with idis and ziburis. The beinonis is in the hands of Levi. Uvo bal chayv d'ruvin, another bal chayv d'ruvin comes along. Rotzo b'beinonis b'yad Levi goyve v'loy matzil meimei enachti l'chol mokum ligvus. He can claim from Levi, and Levi cannot say enachti l'chol mokum ligvus. It's a Shimon. Why can't he say that? Why can't he say Enachti Lechol Mochim Ligvus? Because he didn't. He only left him with the Ziburis.
Why would he go into this case?
The first Lekeach took it Bishtar Echad. Ruven Shemocha calls Adais of Leshima in Bishtar Echad. Why? At that point, Bnei Chorin falls away for the next Lekeach. No, Shimon is not using that Taina. No. No, just in general, he's saying a first Lekeach can use it. He's not saying this first Lekeach uses it. He's saying a first Lekeach can use the Taina of Ein Goyvim in Echosim Mishobin Kozman Shish Bnei Chorin. That's a principle.